Hello, this is Pastor Trent. I want to welcome you to the Mountain Home Church, the Nazarene Sermon Podcast. We are thrilled that you are tuning in to hear sermons from our ministries here at our church. It is our hope that the Spirit of Christ would be present with you as you listen today. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to reach out and connect with us. On our website, we have a way for you to do just that. You can visit www.mhnazarene.org/connect and fill out a very brief form. There's a spot to leave contact info, ask questions, and even to request prayer. Also, be sure to indicate that you listen to us through our SoundCloud podcast to let us know where you're listening. May the Lord be with you this day. Grace and peace to you.
Merry Christmas Eve. What a joyous and wonderful day it is. It is good to see many of you here today. I see family and friends and relatives and folks that have traveled into town, and it is great to worship with you. We have a tradition in our house of dressing up on Christmas Eve, so I had to reintroduce myself to several of you this morning. I don't normally wear this. If you're visiting with us this morning, this is not the standard level of my dressing formalness. However, it's Christmas Eve, and we have a tradition in our family of dressing up for Christmas Eve because the baby's coming. The baby's on his way. Yes, I am still Trent, and I'm still your pastor, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. We are very much a come-as-you-are church. I had a conversation with somebody recently that if you come, you will be welcome here, and you don't have to dress a certain way, look a certain way, behave a certain way. We want you to come as you are, and that's meaningful to us. So please don't let the suit and tie throw you. Nothing has changed in that regard, for sure. I do want to just inform you and let you know we have a whole different worship experience coming tonight for candlelight service this evening at 6 p.m. We would love for you to come back. We also are aware that families have plans, and we are all about families following through with those plans. So if those plans keep you away tonight, we won't be miffed, we won't be angry, we won't be upset. But if you have time to come back this evening at 6 p.m., it's going to be a special time. If you've been here for our Christmas Eve candlelight services, you know that those are special times, and we want to invite you back to be part of that tonight. I remember growing up in Ontario Church back in the 1900s, as I like to say. We used to have Sunday morning church and Sunday evening church every week of the year. That's no longer our practice. Some of us say praise the Lord. That's no longer our practice. But the last two Sundays, we've had services on this last week's Sunday and this week. We have services both in the morning and in the evening. So we want you to be a part if you're able to come. This is our final installment of kind of this Christmas series about Christmas songs. I'm excited as I am about Christmas music. I wanted to share some Christmas songs with you, and we'll be doing that a little bit this service as well, even as I preach. But I'm excited again to turn to the Psalms for our ancient songs. The fact that we have in the 150 Psalms of our Bible, the recording of a whole chorus book, a whole song book of what Israel used to sing praises and worship to God, to Yahweh back in ancient Israel. And so we turn to those again today, whether it's songs from Israel's hymnal or our hymnal or even the new songs that you hear on K-Love and Air One, we celebrate the songs of Christmas this year. Today we'll be turning to Psalm 89. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm 89, reading a couple different portions from there, verses 1 through 4, and then jumping down to verse 19 and reading through 26. Out of respect for the reading of God's word, those who are willing and able, would you please stand as we read together from Psalm 89, starting with verses 1 through 4. I will sing of the Lord's loyal love forever. I will proclaim your faithfulness with my own mouth from one generation to the next. That's why I say your loyal love is rightly built forever. You established your faithfulness in heaven. You said, I made a covenant with my chosen one. I promised my servant David, I will establish your offspring forever. I will build up your throne from one generation to the next. And skipping down to verse 19. Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful servants. I placed a crown on a strong man. I raised up someone specially chosen from the people. I discovered my servant David. I anointed him with holy oil. My hand will sustain him. Yes, my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will oppress him. No wicked person will make him suffer. I will crush all his foes in front of him. I will strike down all those who hate him. My faithfulness and my loyal love will be with him. He will be strengthened by my name. I will set his hand on the sea. I will set his strong hand out on the rivers. He will cry out to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. We say thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, we arrive at the final week of Advent. We have arrived the fourth Sunday of Advent. Like I mentioned last week, this year is a little unique because the fourth Sunday of Advent also happens to be Christmas Eve. Christmas has not arrived, and so the four Sundays prior to Christmas Day are the four Sundays of Advent. The culmination of all this waiting, all this, the preparation for the baby to arrive. And it all lands on Christmas Eve. And kids will, this might be the longest day of the year for kids, right? Waiting for Christmas Day, unable to fall asleep tonight, rustling, turning in their beds, taking one more potty break after they're laying down. There's just so much expectation. I feel this very poignantly in my household in these days. We definitely feel it in the Freeburg house. I'm captured today by this fourth theme of Advent. We started with hope or light. We moved to love, then we moved to joy. And this week, we land on the fourth theme of Advent, peace. In my mind, as I think about the word peace, I would say that it definitely doesn't necessarily describe our world right now. If I think about the word peace and I think about the world in which we live, I see some dissonance. I feel this off balance and disequilibrium between that word and our world right now. It just doesn't seem peaceful. I looked up armed conflicts around the world on the internet because the internet is always right. But as of right now, according to Wikipedia, there is or have been 21 conflicts labeled either wars or major wars in the world that have happened in the year 2023-21. Ukraine and Israel conflicts kind of get the headlines, and yet the world is not a peaceful place. Add that to the surprising reality that people have, and I struggle with this as well. People have generally forgotten how to disagree and disagree well. I heard someone suggest recently, go ahead and talk about religion and politics at the holidays this year, but learn how to talk about it with respect, to talk about it with care about the person across the table, with an idea of what can I learn. What blind spots do I have? The recommendation was learn how to disagree and to still care, still honor and respect. Reality is we have the opportunity at so many turns to reject peace, to say, peace is too much work. Peace is kind of too hard. Instead, let's get worked up. Let's get stressed out. Let's get ticked off. Let's claim our rights. And be anything but peaceful. When we do that, when we act the natural way, the normal way, the easy way to do life, is to say, you and I disagree, so I'm not sure I need you in my world. I'm going to write you off. I'm going to distance myself from you. I'll call you a name, make some derogatory remark, and walk away. And even sometimes talk to a few friends who think like me and be like, eh, you know how messed up they are. And into that world enters a little baby. And into that world, this theme of Advent breaks in upon our lives. For Christ has come to bring peace. There's someone who has a different track record than the world in which we live. Someone who, in the face of disagreement and violation, moves towards instead of away. Who reaches toward the other instead of pushing away when offense happens. One who provides a way out of trouble when getting into trouble probably was the other person's action even in the first place. Who is that someone? And that someone is God. That in the Christmas story, that in the movement that God made in this season to go from God who was separate to the God who was present, God gives us a lesson about how we bring about peace in our world. The God of Israel, Yahweh, had come through for Israel time and again, provided for them in each of their great times of need, been forgiving to the people of Israel, even after their constant turning away, granting their desires, maintaining their identity, even through the toughest storms and trials. And that's what Israel's songbook is all about. If you read through the Psalms that are contained in this book, you see the testimony that the songwriters wanted to give about the actions of God to the nation of Israel. Even this one talks about placing a crown on David's head, anointing him with oil, strengthening him with the very arm of the Lord, preserving his line through generations to come. And yet the coming, the providing, the movement of God toward us looks so much different when it comes to the manger. The Old Testament is full of these amazing stories, these movements that are attributed to God, that God came through for Israel. Well, it's full of big and impressive things that God does for God's people. They survive by rushing through the Red Sea, going through the ocean is how they survive, and then they survive the desert. Like, they got the water, and then he got the desert. God can handle both. Gideon knocks down the wall as they invade the Promised Land. Goliath is defeated by David with just a few small, round, smooth stones. The prophets of Baal are defeated as fire rains down on Elijah's sacrifice. And we go, wow, look what God can do. Look at the power displayed. And I imagine for the people of Israel, as they waited for the Messiah, their imaginations. If Messiah is coming, if Messiah, who is greater than all that we've talked about, all that we've sung about, all the psalms that are in our songbook, if Messiah is greater than all we've experienced before, what's that going to be like? What's better than walking through the ocean and then surviving for 40 years in the desert? What's better than fire raining down on the false prophets of Baal? What's going to be bigger and better than that? And what do we find on Christmas morning? But a child of a teenage mom lying snuggled in an animal feeding trough in a stable. It was borrowed for the night because there was no proper room for Mary and Joseph to sleep in. Surrounded by animals and all the noises and smells that animals make. And I see peace in that moment. That the God of the Old Testament, who's the God of the New Testament and the God of today, had all of these examples of provision that seemed big and bombastic and amazing, and allowed Israel to establish herself and to come into the promised land. And on Christmas morning, we find a baby wrapped in a manger. What a peaceful moment we hope for in the coming of the baby. As we've read through our Advent devotional, they've offered a hymn each week. The one offered this week was O Little Town of Bethlehem. And if you know the song, it's a very, very peaceful song. But for the traditional Christmas song this week, I chose a different song. So I'm going to play it for you and sing it. You're probably going to know it, and I invite you to sing along. But it just speaks of the peace of that moment that we find in the manger scene there. The song is Away in the Manger. Sing if you know it.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no cry he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with.
Such a beautiful picture. There's something about the scene that's created in our minds. When we imagine that night, when we allow ourselves to be taken away to that manger and to become a character that's gathered around that stable that night, it's so audacious and yet so peaceful. Certainly a birth of a child has its non-peaceful parts, but I imagine in the joy of this incredible face-to-face moment between Mary and this baby, there is a profound peace that separated from her normal setting, separated from her home and all that she knows, having gone on this trip to Bethlehem because of the census that was taken. in this odd place, surrounded by all sorts, all types of creatures, and a bunch of strangers who were telling stories of heavenly beings that showed up and said, "Go to the stable, for unto us a child is born." And they had been pointed in this direction. You see, on that night, a new kind of provision was made for humanity. The God's Messiah solution didn't look like the rest of God's provision in the past. A solution, a care, a provision that no longer relied on a nation, on nation states and territories and conquering. It required no conquest. It required no war. Instead, it requires the humility to simply allow the transformation of Christ to rule in our hearts and lives. To make the statement, to follow through that, God, you have access and you have authority and you have ability and you even have my desire that you would come in and transform my life, change me. Sometimes I think that's where some of us just don't believe that. So that's where some of us get it wrong, that we think we have to come to Jesus into this scene with some sort of confidence, having gotten something done already. We have to kind of get our act together or clean up our lives a little bit before Jesus would ever take us or Jesus would ever want us. We gotta figure kind of what this thing is all about. We have to have our lives in order and stuff kind of fixed. But that's not the case. The celebration of Christmas is for all to come as they are, even if you're in a suit and tie, and even if you're in shorts and a flannel. Christ's invitation is for the broken and the bruised and the unfaithful and the weary and the fearful and the guilty and the hiding and the unstable and the unwanted. We're all invited to this scene, to gather at the manger with the animals and with the shepherds, with the sounds and with the smells. We are invited. I think that's what peace requires. This isn't a common use of this word, but it's kind of a violent thing to say, "Oh yeah, you can come, but you better dress up first. Clean up your life first. Figure it out first. You're welcome, you're invited, but when you come, you better look the part." That's not the message of the manger. That's not the invitation that the manger scene gives to us. There's a song I was introduced to, I think the first time I heard it was this year. I'm going to ask Val to come and help me sing this final song. It's called, "O Come, All You Unfaithful." We sang it at our Blue Christmas service last week. And I just don't know the song very well, and so she's going to sing it better than I will, so I asked her to help me out. Listen to the words of this song. If you know it, you can sing along.
Not alone.
Amen. Thanks, Val. The words of that bridge ring true in our lives today. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who believe. Amen? The song's been stuck in my head this season. All the songs that I've been able to share over the course of this Advent series are songs that have a message for us. And the message is today, for those who believe, Christ offers a peace that passes all of our understanding, that we just can't explain, that we just don't get today. His promise is peace for those who believe. We're invited into this scene this Christmas season, for the Savior, the Messiah, has come and changes all things for us today, not by might, not by power or strength, or in a traditional manner of overcoming the world, but by the peaceful presence of an infant child lying in a manger today. Today, the invitation is you can know this Christ child. Today, you can respond to that invitation offered to you, stepping into the scene of the baby in a manger is the invitation that we make in this Christmas season. The other invitation is to know Christ and to follow him. An equal and worthy invitation that we all need to respond to. As much as we love the family that gathers to us, it's our choice to respond to that invitation. To say, I choose this way, I want to follow after this child. To know him, to accept his way of life and doing life with him. It is an amazing journey, worth it, meaningful, hopeful. I'm going to invite the praise team to come back on up and those who are prepared to serve us communion today. Today, we are inviting you to respond by participating in communion with us. As we partake in communion this fourth Sunday of Advent, I believe that invitation is powerful and poignant today. And that by partaking of these elements today is to come and to step into this manger scene of awe and wonder and to marvel at God's incredible provision for us, a provision that today looks so much different than anything Israel had ever seen and anything we had ever known. But by coming this morning and partaking in communion, you're choosing to say, I choose this way. I want to follow after this child. In the Church of the Nazarene, we participate in what's called open communion, which means anyone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ, anyone who said, I want to follow this child in my life, is welcome to come and to participate in communion with us. We have three serving stations that we have. We'll have two up here in the front. We just ask that you come down the aisles and then turn to the outsides. We also have a third one in the back. As you approach the stations, you can have your hands open to receive a piece of bread and dip it in the juice and partake of it there. We also have prepackaged elements for those that have concerns, and you can grab one of those, take them back to your seats, and partake of communion in that way. On this night, Christ's first day of life, there was an incredible peace and a calm that happened that night. Much later in Jesus' life, in fact, on the night he was betrayed by one of his own disciples, he had gathered with his disciples in the upper room to celebrate the Passover. It was during this meal that he took bread in the middle of the meal, broke it, And gave it to, after giving thanks, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you share this meal together, do so in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the meal, he took the cup of salvation and offered it to them after giving thanks, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood, which was poured out for you. As often as you do this, do so and remember me." And this is the meal that we participate in. This is the invitation that's extended to us this morning. Let me pray for us, and then we'll partake into communion together. Lord, today we offer our lives to you. Today, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we focus on the peace that comes, the peace that you bring, we are reminded today of your great love for us. I pray today that you would be with us, that you would be in us and amongst us. And as we gather around the manger again this year, again this season, we are so reminded of your love and your provision for us. We celebrate and we worship the Christ child who came to us in the manger and made a way for us to experience relationship with you. Lord, today as we come to the table of grace to partake of these elements, would you make them for us the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be for the world the hands and feet of Christ to serve and to reach out and to minister to the world. We worship you this day. In Christ's name, amen. The table is set, the invitation given. Come and dine. Amen. Today we gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we gather at the manger to be reminded again of the wonder and the awe of this scene and to feel the peace that it brings. For it has changed our lives. Today, as I offer a benediction, I invite you to just have a posture of holding out your hands, a tradition that we have in this church, to remind us that we receive this benediction prayer today. Lord, may we know the reality of this prophecy from Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. May it be so in our lives. Amen. Amen. Go in the love of Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on the Mountain Home Church The Nazarene podcast. Don't forget to visit us at mhnazarene.org/connect if you'd like to connect with us. And have a great week. Thank you.